I think we can officially claim June as Art Month here at Blakemore. We're doing the Start From Scratch that we've talked about, the summer nights where families are coming together on Wednesday evenings to do arts and projects and connect to faith. And then during worship, we are having a new worship series called With All Our Art. Don't you just love the play on words? But each week during this worship series, we'll take a piece of art and we'll examine it and see what kind of connections we might find between it and our life and our faith. Some of the art pieces will be explicitly religious, like this morning we're talking about the creation of Adam, and so, you know, it's inspired by Scripture, very much part of the Christian faith. But some others will not be, and we'll just see how they connect with life and faith. So, for example, next week, Guernica is the painting by Picasso. It depicts a battle scene, and so, you know, not at all grounded in the Christian faith, but we'll see what kind of connections it might have between life and faith. And so that's what the next month will look like for us. Let me just make a disclaimer as we're starting. I have almost no background in art. I know some people, you know, just love art and they go to museums and they majored in art history and all these things. Not me. Art is not my, not in my wheelhouse. So I'm a little uncomfortable, so I'm going to use some notes this morning as we kind of talk through the pieces. But hopefully at least you'll help to be able to connect life and faith and art together. So let's get started. All right, so our piece this morning is called The Creation of Adam. And it was painted by Michelangelo, who's one of the most famous painters of all time. You know, if one of the Ninja Turtles is named after you, then you've got to be one of the best known and most famous artists, right? So Michelangelo was a painter during the Renaissance in the 1500s. And he grew up in the city of Florence, which was kind of the hotbed of the Renaissance, where much of it started and a lot of that energy began. And he actually studied at one of the schools that was created by the Medici family, which is like, you know, the main people of the Renaissance. So he's like the quintessential Renaissance man, right? Michelangelo. And he was a wonderful artist. In fact, painting is not even his primary medium. It's sculpting. The David and the Pietà are probably his two most well-known pieces, in addition to the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel here. So again, the creation of Adam is part of, it's a fresco that is part of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. I think we might have an image of that. We might not. We'll see. All right, but Michelangelo was commissioned in the early 1500s to paint the entire ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. He was first commissioned to help put together the tomb of the Pope, and then that was going so well, the Pope was like, why don't you just do this other thing too? And so it took him about 4 years to also paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And the ceiling, it's huge, and there's all kinds of stuff on there. There's paintings of prophets and of people who are of the ancestry of Jesus, like David and all those folks. But in the center, all down the middle of the Sistine Chapel, there are 9 paintings. And each one is from the book of Genesis, and they kind of portray the whole story of creation all the way through our need for God's grace. And so very near the middle, it's the 4th of 9, is this creation of Adam, which in many ways is one of the most well-known paintings in all of the world. Again, it took about 4 years for Michelangelo to paint the whole thing, but this particular one, the creation of Adam, he did in just 3 weeks, which is pretty amazing because, I mean, it's the ceiling, it's huge. And somebody, when I was doing research, said that just the Adam part took him 3 days. Like, to paint that huge thing and somebody in such detail in 3 days is just amazing. So he was a brilliant, brilliant person. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the painting itself. I think we're going to zoom in on the image of God. There we go. And so again, on the right of the painting is God. And God is portrayed as a figure who is flying. Right? You kind of see that. He doesn't have any wings, but the beard is flowing and the cloth is flowing. So it looks like God is flying towards Adam. And God is portrayed as an old man in this painting, right? Which is a little bit unique because Stacy looks puzzled when I say that, because we often think of God as an old man now, but in those days, when God was painted, it was almost always as a king or as an emperor. Because that's how people thought of God, that God was the ruler of the universe, the one who sat on a throne and kind of dictated how everything went. And so Michelangelo really was kind of outside the norm when he painted God in this way as an old man. But if you look even closer, God looks old with the gray beard and the gray hair, but God's body doesn't look very old, does it? I mean, you can see the muscles on God, right? I mean, I wish I were that ripped. My goodness, right? And so there's this kind of strange amalgamation of the figure of an old man, but the body of someone who is young and strong and vibrant. All right, and then there are all these other figures around God. You got to wonder, who are those figures? Most people interpret them to be angels, although none of them have wings, and so typically in that day, angels were painted with wings, but maybe they don't need them because God is flying and everything is good there, but there are 11 or 12. It's kind of hard to tell. You know, some are behind others. I would guess that there's 12 because that's, you know, symbolic, but who knows. But there are a couple of figures in particular that people like to discuss, and you can see them there. So God's right hand is stretching out towards Adam, but God's left hand is wrapped around someone. And that someone looks to be female. It's not, you know, it's hard to tell for sure. And so some have speculated that that is actually Eve, and that God has not yet created Eve out of Adam's rib, but that Eve is there waiting to be created. Another interpretation is that that is actually the Virgin Mary, and that the little person next to her that God's hand is actually touching is the Christ child. And that even in this painting of creation from the very beginning, that God's plan is to send the Christ child through the Virgin Mary into the world to save us and to rescue us. So that's a possible interpretation. If we can zoom back out on the painting, we'll see that there is this shape that is around God that's red in color. Does that remind anyone of any part of the anatomy? The brain. Yeah, it looks like a brain, doesn't it? And people think that probably is what Michelangelo intended. And that maybe part of what Michelangelo was saying is that what it means to be created in the image of God, which is what this portrays, is that we have a brain, we are able to think. Some others have suggested that it looks like a uterus, and so images of birth and creation there. Susan the nurse says no, so who knows? It looks more like a brain to me, but again, I'm no expert. But there are, like, you know, kind of the, I don't even know what the word is, but where it's kind of folded on itself like the brain does, I can kind of see that there. So to me, it looks like a brain, so I'm going to go with that. On the left side is Adam, and we can zoom in on Adam, I think. And Adam is just kind of lounging there, right? I mean, God is very active. God is flying towards Adam, reaching out to stretch, and Adam is just barely able to lift up a little bit and to lift his hand. In fact, all Adam needs to do is lift his finger up to touch God, and yet his finger is just limp and laying down. The gap between the fingers is actually less than an inch, which is pretty amazing. And so from the ground, it's even kind of hard to tell maybe that there is that gap there, but it is there, less than an inch between the finger of God and the finger of Adam. And one of the interesting things is that the figures, the figure of God and Adam, are shaped very similarly. God is kind of reaching out, and Adam is kind of leaning back, but they are shaped in a similar kind of way. And that reminds us that we are created in the image of God. One of the other things about Adam is that he looks very strong and vibrant and muscular. I mean, he is like the ideal person. If you look at that image again, he's just strong. He's got all these muscles. It's what you might think of when God creates the perfect creation. Ta-da, there he is. All right, so let me talk a little bit, take a step back from the painting a little bit and talk more. One of the things that's interesting about this painting is that Michelangelo really does diverge from tradition when he paints this painting. And for us, that might be a little hard to wrap our heads around because this painting is such a part of our culture and our history and even Christianity. I mean, it's one of the iconic images that we might think of when we think of Christian art. And so to us, it seems very kind of traditional and those kinds of things. But in that day, it really did diverge from tradition. And it diverged in both how God is portrayed and in how Adam is portrayed. And so let's think about God in particular. So first, God typically, as I mentioned before, was portrayed as a king or as an emperor, almost always removed from the action, that, you know, things were going on and God just kind of sat there and lorded over what was happening. And so our primary understanding often when we think of God is as the ruler of the universe. But this shows God in a little bit different way. Here God again is that old man's face with a younger man's body. But the important thing is that God is very active. God is moving towards Adam. There is this desire, this determination, this perseverance that we see in God, that God is stretching out. You can see, I mean, God couldn't reach any farther. God is doing everything that God can to reach out and to touch Adam, flying through the universe even to be able to do it. God's arm is exposed, which was also something that hadn't really been done before. Whenever God was painted, all of God was covered up, except for God's face. But here you see that God's right arm is exposed. The left arm is not, but the right arm is. And some people think that Michelangelo took this inspiration from the book of Isaiah. In chapter 52 and 53, it talks about God's right arm being exposed, and that only those who are faithful will be able to see that, that it's a sign of God's strength and God's favor. And so perhaps that's the inspiration that Michelangelo took when painting that. But then if we think about Adam in particular, this really does diverge from the idea, the traditional idea of creation. We heard in the scripture passage that Roseanne read to us from Genesis chapter 2, the way that the Bible portrays Adam being created. And in that, God comes to earth and forms Adam from the dust, from the dirt of the earth, and then breathes life into the nostrils of Adam. That's not what this shows, right? I mean, this shows an Adam who is already formed, who's already alive, but not strong, not vigorous, not vibrant. And so it is the touch from God, the touch of God's finger to Adam that would bring life and hope and fullness and all of those things. So Adam's form, again, is already perfect because God has created him that way. And Adam imitates God in pose, again, reminding us that we are created in the image of God. But again, Adam is limp. He's unable to reach out to God, to touch God on his own. See, even his arm, he's not able to hold it up. He's got to prop it on his knee. Can't lift a finger to touch God. And so really, in some ways, that reminds us of God's grace, that it is God's action, that we're not able to do anything for ourselves, but we need God and God's love and grace in our lives to rescue us and to save us and to make us be the people that God has created us to be. Adam needs God's touch to be alive, to be vigorous, to be strong. The idea of the fingers touching, people often wondered where Michelangelo got that inspiration, because again, it's a new image that nobody had painted before this. And there's a hymn that was sung in those days, a Latin hymn, and we're actually going to sing it as our closing hymn today. We're going to sing the English version to the tune of Amazing Grace, so it should be pretty easy to sing. But the second verse of that hymn, many people think is the inspiration for these fingers touching. Deanna, could you put the words up there? Yeah, it should be right there in the right where you are on the slideshow. Yeah, there we go. So the second verse says, "Thou who art in thy warm embrace, finger of God's right hand, his promise teaching little ones to speak and understand." And so people think that perhaps Michelangelo took his inspiration from this hymn, this idea of God's right hand, God's finger reaching out to teach and to inspire and to share God's spirit with humanity. Perhaps that's what inspired Michelangelo to use this, to paint it in this particular way. So one of the main ways that God is portrayed in Scripture and that I think that we think of God is as creator. And that's on full display today, right? In this painting and in the Scripture passage that we read, God is very much portrayed as the one who creates the whole universe, who creates the world, who creates us, and who continues to create things that are in the world. One of the things that we have often struggled with as people of faith is to make sense of the idea that we, as human beings, are created in the image of God. What does that mean, to be created in the image of God? I think oftentimes where we come down is that it means that we have sacred worth. We are valuable. We are important. We are sacred and holy because we are created in the image of God. And I think that is 100% true. No doubt about that. That every single human being has worth and value and should be treated with dignity and respect. But I think that maybe it means something a little bit more. More in addition to that. Some have struggled with the idea that maybe it means that physically somehow there is some resemblance between us and God. And we might see that in this painting, right? That God is portrayed in a human kind of form. And so maybe that's part of what it means. I tend to think of God more as spirit, as something that we cannot touch or see. But some people have talked about that. So what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Another thing that it might mean is our moral capacity. That we are able to know what is right and what is wrong and to act in ways that are responsible or not. Maybe that's what the brain there in the background behind God is suggesting. Or is it that there is something eternal in each of us, a spirit or a soul that lives on? And because God is eternal, that's what it means to be created in the image of God. Maybe it's that, or maybe it's all of those, maybe it's none of those. Who knows? But I am convinced that part of what it means to be created in the image of God is that we are invited to join God in God's work and God's enterprises. And if God is the creator, then we are invited to be creators as well, to be creative. Steffi, in her children's message, talked a bit about that, and she said that everyone here is creative. And I think she's right. Now, when I list adjectives to describe myself, creative is not high on the list. You know, I'm a logical person. I like to organize things. I'm not super artistic, though. But I do think that God has placed within me creativity. And I think God has done the same in each and every one of you. Now, there are some obvious ways that we can be creators, we can be creative. There's the very literal kind of sense, like procreation and having children, or working in a garden. We read about the garden in the scripture passage. I actually got to work in my garden yesterday a little bit. I had a salad yesterday evening for dinner, stuff from my garden. I picked lettuce and radishes and kale, and it was delicious. So there's that kind of stuff where we can be literally creative, something new that is born, that is made. And then there are other physical things that we can create, right? Like art, which we're talking about this week. Beautiful art like this, or even stuff that's not beautiful. You can create it. There are buildings that we make. There are all kinds of things that we can make with our hands, right? Tangible things. But then there's the kind of creativity that's not quite as tangible, but yet that I think is just as important. I think even a conversation with someone can be a creative enterprise. Relationships that we build and form with each other are acts of creation and creativity. Ideas that we have, songs or music that we write, movements that begin, all of these things are acts of creativity and creation. And here's what I'm convinced of. That every time we do any of those things, we are participating in what it means to be created in the image of God. In other words, when we do those things, when we are creative, when we make something new, when we have a new idea, when we have a conversation with someone, when we are forming a relationship, whatever it might be, we are most fully human when we do those things. We are living out what it means to be our truest selves, made in the image of God. And so, friends, as I wrap up this sermon, I want you to think for just a moment. Where are you creative in your life? What do you create day in and day out? Again, it might be conversations that you have. It might be art. It might be the work that you do. It might be caring for children. It might be other relationships. Where are you creative? Where do you create something new? And how can you use that creativity? How can you partner with God in that work of creation to be about what God desires for the world? How can you point and channel the energy of that creativity for goodness, for justice, for light, for hope, for peace, and for love? Friends, we are made in the very image of God. And so each and every one of you is a beautiful creation, a beautiful child of God, filled with limitless potential to make something new, to be creative, to be creators. And so may we join God in that holy work. Amen.